views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Whether you're listening on KKNW AM 1150 here in Seattle, WBLQ in Connecticut, Rhode Island, New York, Transformation Talk Radio over the internet, or Cable Radio Network in the U.S., I'm so glad you joined me here today. You're not going to be disappointed because I have spoken to this person who's my guest today, and I've seen her present, and I've read her book, and she's got some really important gifts to share. But first, I want to look across the county here and say hello to Mr. Benny.
Hey there. Happy Blue Friday.
Yes, yes, yes. This is a big day here in the Seattle area. A big weekend is
ramping up for the weekend. This is it. This is all the marbles are on the table, yes. So to speak. Try to grab them all before they don't fall off.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see where it leads. But really exciting weekend.
Yeah. Oh, and we can't leave out Justin Timberlake. He's in town, too.
Oh, boy. I'd love to have a conversation with him because, you know.
That would be awesome.
It would be awesome because he's got so many different gifts to share. And he seems to, you know, he's a young person who has made the choice to share them. And he seems to be continuing to do a good job. A lot of them will, like, crash and burn. And and he just moves forward and you think, okay, well, he's reached his peak, and then yet he's got more gifts to share.
He just reaches a new level.
Yeah.
And just keeps climbing.
I love it when a person is able to do that, but I'm particularly impressed when it's somebody who's, you know, relatively young. And of course, that what young means to me is different than it used to mean to me because I'm a little older now. But
age is only a number.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But I love Justin Timberlake.
You're right. He's very humble, and with him being young, he hasn't really been caught up with all the celebrities. You know, flash.
Yes.
Even though he's in quite a bit of it.
Oh, absolutely.
And that actually is a good parallel with our quarterback that could possibly take us to the Super Bowl this weekend too. Russell Wilson he's the same stand-up gentleman and young, and he's doing his job. He's getting it done. He's a great sportsman on and off the field, and it's so exciting. I'm nervous. Like I rarely felt like this before. It's great.
And you know, humility. That what you were talking about just now is something that my guest today. Knows a lot about, and she's got some insights to share with us about this. First of all, I met Regina Cates when I was down at Be the Change in San Diego area. And, you know, I had never heard of her. Her book wasn't out yet, so I hadn't read her book. And so I didn't know what to expect. And I'm sitting there, and it's the end of a fairly long weekend because I'd gone down there for a writer's workshop and so on and so forth. And it's on Sunday afternoon, and I'm thinking, huh, you know, I'd really like a cup of coffee right now. Well, she got up there on that stage, and I was mesmerized. I felt connected because she is connected. And I'm so glad that she's agreed to join me on the show here. And her book is coming out soon, so you're not going to miss hearing about that. She is a spiritual guide, a personal empowerment coach. Regina is a transformational author, and she's a self-proclaimed, what she calls, positivity junkie. She's a cheerleader of soul, and she inspires hundreds of thousands of people every day to live lives of limitless possibility. Through her LA-based company, Romancing Your Soul, she guides people to lead with their hearts. And we're going to talk more about what that means. And her first book that's coming out very soon is called Lead With Your Heart, Creating a Life of Love, Compassion, and Purpose. And it's going to be published on May 1st of this year. I'd like to welcome Regina Cates.
Hi, good morning, Christine. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's so nice to have you here. And I have to tell you, I just love that slight Southern drawl that you've got.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
And you're from Texas originally, is that right?
I am originally from Texas, yes. And I've had the honor to live in, Texas, Missouri, Alabama for 20 years, Georgia for a little time, and now California.
Wow.
So I've done 10% of the United States so far. You never know what's in store for later on.
Well, I'm the same way because I, too, am from Texas originally. I moved from there when I was 7, and I've lived all over the place, you know, Nebraska, Massachusetts, New Jersey, Washington State, as well as Texas. And, you know, I did lose my southern draw, which is different than you, but I have to warn my listeners that when I get around somebody who's got that accent, you know, pretty soon I'm saying y'all, and I got a bit of a drawl myself. So, you know, it's still Christine Upchurch here on the show with Regina Cates. So, but I always look in terms of what connection I have with my guest. And first of all, you know, we've got the obvious connection of both being from Texas. But I have to tell you, Regina, when you were up there telling your story, and we're going to get to that story soon, I just felt like I was connected to you because you were connected to yourself and the divine. That is such a powerful place to be.
Because it really is. You know, that's what I believe each of us has the capacity to do, Christine.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's what the book is all about. How do we connect with that spiritual part of us? You know, we are spiritual beings on a great human adventure.
Oh, yeah.
And go Seahawks. You know, that's the human part of me going, yay, yay. way to go, Seattle. But, you know, the spiritual aspect of who we are, that's the most important to me. Mm-hmm. So that's what Lead With Your Heart is all about.
Right. So what does it mean to lead with your heart? I mean, you know, lots of people throw that kind of, you know, concept around, oh, be heart-centered, you know, get into your heart. And, you know, it's sort of like sometimes it feels kind of sickly sweet, you know, lovey-dovey. And sometimes it does not feel genuine. So what do you mean by lead with your heart?
Well, Christine, for me, it's been an extremely painful journey, as it has for, I'm sure, everybody on the planet to a certain extent. We all go through our own thing. So, you know, for so many years, I was really terrified of dying. And then one day I realized I was really afraid of living.
Mm.
So what does it look like to live? So I've spent my lifetime in my 57 years of trying to figure out what is the best way that we can create the best life.
Uh-huh.
And it's not this intangible, you know, you need to do this and you need to do that.
Right.
These are the actual steps that I figured out that are logical steps of the tangible actions that we take that express the loving behavior of our heart.
Right.
That's what it means to lead with our heart. Within our heart are all of those loving behaviors, whether that's responsibility, acceptance, compassion, kindness, these wonderful things that we can feel. But how do you express those in everyday life, in the real world? So I've written the book, Lead With Your Heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's the tangible aspects and the tangible behaviors that we can practice every day that will keep us in that heart-centered space.
Right. And I think that so many people, and you know, I think that with my religious upbringing, I was taught this, that it begins with your behavior. It begins with, you know, how you relate to the world. And yet you're coming from this place of it really has to do with how you relate to yourself.
That's correct, because everything starts with the self. You know, we're all connected. We are all one. And in my belief system and what I know to be true for me, we are all a spark of the divine. That's why I call us spiritual beings on great human adventures.
Sure.
Because, sure, yeah. And these are the tangible ways that we stay connected to that part of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's I think that people often, and I put myself in this category over the years, I've disconnected enough from my feelings that in order to connect with my heart and you know, lead with my heart, as you call it, it's almost like I have to be willing to let in the pain of my shadows, the pain of some of the horrible things that are going on the planet, and the pain of the disconnection.
Certainly, because empathy is a major factor for us in being able to see ourselves and others, for sure, definitely.
So, you know, tell me a little bit about your upbringing, because, you know, you've had some challenges along the way.
A few, yes. I was raised in the southern part of the United States, in Texas, as we've talked about, in a fundamentalist Christian church. And Christine, from the time I was very, very small, and I don't really remember what age, but three or four years old, I was aware that I was different than other people. Mm-hmm. And later on, probably around 5 or 6, I figured out that I liked girls more than boys. So I grew up knowing when I was very young that I was gay.
Oh, dear. And now, in that kind of environment, boy, oh, boy, that must have been challenging.
It was an extremely challenging because, you know, you talked about your religious upbringing, and I have fought all of my life to try to put together what that God entity is, what that energy is, and how that could hate me so much and yet make me to be who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Because now, of course, science proves that it's biological and environmental and many other factors.
Sure.
Certainly it was for me because I knew at such a young age.
But that's not what the church was teaching.
No, definitely not. It was an intentional choice to sin against God and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Even though there's only 6 verses in the Bible that actually talk about it, and none of them address homosexuality as it is known today.
Right. And we do have to, I'd like to go on record as saying that the Bible wasn't written directly by God, so to speak.
No, that's correct, yes.
It was written by humans.
And it wasn't written, you know, by Jesus, and it wasn't written right after the time. You know, it can take up to 300 years.
Yes, indeed.
You know, to write these and pull them all together. So a lot of people don't understand that, and they don't know that. But, so that's one of the things that I've done, Christine, and you have too, I'm sure, is to investigate what we believe.
Right.
And I talk about that in the book, how very important that is to question our beliefs.
Absolutely. And it's actually, as you talk about in your book and as I've experienced as well, it's really more about deepening our faith. I mean, to question it isn't to get further away from our faith, but rather gives us an opportunity to become more spiritual.
Absolutely. And aligned with love, because, you know, it wasn't loving for people to tell me I was going to hell and to reiterate that to me, even though they did not know. You know, it wasn't like I walked in at 4 and said, hey, I'm gay.
Right.
It took me a while to get out of the closet. And that was extremely painful because, in my case, my worst scenario fears came true.
Mm.
I was institutionalized in a mental institution for a while. You know, yeah, it's just one of those things. And today I accept the journey and I understand it. You had said something earlier in our conversation about this being a relationship with ourselves. I really do believe that to lead with your heart is about uncovering the wounds.
Mm-hmm.
It's about healing those. And it's about how we can remain empathetic to understand that everyone goes through something.
Sure. Yes. And, you know, we have to go to a quick break. But when we return, Regina, I'm going to want you to share more about your upbringing and also about that experience you had with a college professor that you talked about on stage that really shifted you. And there's some fabulous lessons in there. So stay tuned for more here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
Get insider knowledge about everything that is going on at Transformation Talk Radio. Go to transformationtalkradio.com and enter your email to receive our newsletter. Stay updated on new hosts, inspiring guests, and good news articles from around the world. We look forward to having you join our community.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Tune in each Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the hit radio show that illuminates the heart-centered bond of animal and human as souls destined to find each other in a lifetime. Each week, this world-renowned animal communicator, through her live call-in show, will assist you in understanding animals as light beings, here to raise the vibrational level of this planet. They're ready. Are you?
ACT, Advanced Cell Training, is a restorative healing process created by Gary Bleier to address the body malfunctions that contribute to illness. This breakthrough learning program teaches health insights and principles, strategic integration of both traditional and alternative modalities, while clients train their own bodies to heal themselves. Visit AdvancedCellTraining.com. That's AdvancedCellTraining.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
There's nothing you can do that can't be done. Nothing you can sing that can't be sung. Nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game. It's easy. Nothing you can make.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today with Regina Cates. She is the author of the upcoming book, Lead With Your Heart, Creating a Life of Love, Compassion, and Purpose, that's going to be out on May 1st of this year. Now, Regina, you know, before the break, you were talking about how you endured discrimination, painful condemnation as a gay girl growing up in, you know, fundamentalist Christian Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So along the way, how did you ever learn to lead with your heart?
You know, Christine, it's been a process. It's been a process of being able to get through the anger. It's been a process of letting go the expectation that everyone should know what I know as far as what it means to love instead of hate.
Right.
It's been a real process of accepting responsibility for my actions, my emotions, what I believe, what I think. And that's what the whole book is about, because we cannot change anyone else. We really cannot. They have to do the work to change themselves. But what I have learned and what I'm so proud to have come through is to use the challenges of my life as opportunities to grow.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to learn how to forgive. I had to learn how to embrace the wisdom of Dr. Maya Angelou when she says, when you know better, you do better, and to really understand what that knowing means on a spiritual level.
Right. And I think it's such an important point, Regina, that we cannot change others. I mean, I think some of us pay lip service to that, but we don't live that way. And you see it from anywhere from, like, within the political realm, you know, somebody saying, oh, well, I can convince you that, you know, my perspective on politics is right, to the what I consider to be the spiritual judgment of others. You know, it's like I have seen many people who act like they're very, very spiritual and yet feel like they have to teach others how to be spiritual in order to, you know, to be accepted. And it's also very twisted.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is, because then you put the human ego in it. You know, that's part of what the book is all about, too. It's how you lead with the higher, wiser part of you that is really, in my belief system, connected to the divine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the heart slash soul.
Right.
And how we master an ego that will always want to judge and put someone else in a different position. You know, that's what I grew up with, too, and I'm sure you did, too, in the fundamentalist churches, that our way is the right way and everything else is wrong.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, in your book and also down at Be the Change, you shared a story about interacting with a professor in a university environment. Regina, can you share that with our listeners, please?
Absolutely. Dr. X. What a blessing Dr. X was. You know, Christine, I think this was probably the culmination of a lifetime of letting go of, and what happened is that I was in his, or I was in an office, and he addressed, he really dressed down a secretary that called him Mr. X instead of Dr. X.
You were working as a college administrator at the time, right? So
I was, I ran MBA programs and executive management programs for people. So, yeah, this was in a little town in Georgia at Berry College. And I ran into him, and he had really gotten upset with his secretary. And of course, I shot something back, very sarcastic, trying to put him in his place.
You know, I did research in a university environment. I also worked in a medical research environment. So I know that the hierarchy within the research environment is really huge. It's like if somebody has a PhD, they want the respect of having gotten their PhD and being a professor or an assistant professor, an associate professor. And so some of them are very attached to being called doctor, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's the case because their identity is in what their academic degrees are. So
yes.
He had dressed her down pretty much. And so I stood up for her in a very way that really wasn't acceptable. And I went off back to my office. Well, I got an email from him. I had gone away for that weekend, and I got an email from him pretty much chastising me. And of course, my ego, my pride was going to write him back and tell him everything that was wrong with himself. And all of a sudden, Christine, I think all of the work that I have ever done came together in this big bolt of lightning into my heart and said, wait a second, are you treating him the way that you would want to be treated? Are you responsible for your own behavior? How is this going to accomplish something positive if you just go ahead and continue to ego box with him?
Oh, yeah.
In that moment, this giant light bulb came on.
Oh, wow. You know, I think that people would make, you know, people would perceive you to be very justified in defending, you know, your colleague, the secretary who made the mistake, the awful mistake of not even calling him by his first name, mind you, calling him Mr. instead of Doctor. And so yet you didn't feel justified. Why is that?
Well, because I think that the justification of that is coming from ego. And the ego is going to say to us, well, if you just do this, if you just point out what an ass he's being, then he will automatically get this enlightenment and he will change. And what
That's not the way it works, Regina.
Huh?
That's not the way it works?
No, darn it, isn't it? You know, or else we would have a totally transformed planet. So what hit me and what hit me in my heart in that moment was this great aha, Regina, you have to do it a different way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what Einstein said. You cannot solve a problem at the same level of awareness that created it. Boom, I finally got it. Hello, let me do something different. So I erased all of that email, and I just wrote back to him, and I had to swallow my pride, and it was huge, and I had to chew on it a while, and I finally got it down, and I said, Dear Dr. X, you're absolutely right. Please forgive me. Now, Christine, the most important thing that happened from this is that even as I write in the book, the only gift that I received when I left the college was from Dr. X. It changed him. It changed me. One of the things that I like to say is changed people change people without trying.
Oh, I like that.
We changed them because I changed my... And then I had a great relationship with him. He actually helped me pass many, many things while I was there at the college.
Okay. So... Do you feel like he became a little bit more humble through that process? I mean, that you're trying to knock him down a notch or say don't misbehave, and yet you took a totally different approach.
I think what happens, Christine, at least in my experience, and that's why it's so important in the book that I share, it's about how we are in the world, because I think when we hold on to our ego and we do not allow our wounded part of us, that personal pride, to step forward, then our heart takes the lead, and whatever we do to respond, see, reacting to me is ego. We're not thinking about it. We're not responsible for it. We just react.
Right.
So responding, I responded, and that brought a higher level of awareness to it, and it maybe, I don't know, shined a spotlight on what I had said to him earlier.
Right.
I don't know that. It wasn't my intention, and it's not my business necessarily. But I will tell you this, in a lifetime of experience before Dr. X and after Dr. X, I know that when I bring a higher level and I lead with my heart, then that has the best chance for other people to see how they are behaving.
Yeah.
It's not going to help for me to scream at them.
No, and it, you know, one of the things that I've learned over the years, and I'm still learning, is that the resistance to what is, including somebody else's behavior, actually keeps it stuck,
mm-hmm.
as
sure.
opposed to the accepting and the allowing that allows it to move forward in new ways.
Absolutely. And so those of us that claim to be living a spiritual life by leading with the heart uh-huh. need to take the upper road. We need to understand that really when we're aligned with that higher way of being, it brings a higher level of awareness to the circumstance. So if we are to impact change, then as Gandhi said, we have to be the change that we want to see. That means mm-hmm. we have to do it within our heart first. Mm-hmm. We have to lead the way.
And that doesn't include the judgment of others.
No, it really doesn't. We can't be responsible for other people's behavior or how they perceive us. You know, but again, I say to you, when we lead with our heart, it brings that love to the table. And I tell you what, there is nothing that can withstand love. Nothing.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
Every evil on the planet melts. It might take a while, but love is powerful. It is the most powerful thing on the planet.
And yet, I think we all have to be careful, you know, particularly those of us who've been on our paths, not to be loving with the condition behind it of fixing others.
No, because, you know, even as I address in the book, love is positive behavior. You know, we might have affection, but Christine, if I say I love you, how do I express that?
Uh-huh.
And I think we've been very confused. At least I didn't grow up knowing what love was.
I didn't either. I mean, you know, on some level, I think I did. I think that's you know, that's the frustration and the pain and the woundedness of growing up. I think we come in here knowing what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
we
ma'am.
Keep getting lied to about what it is when we know in our gut and in our hearts and in our being that it really is something else.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. You know, I didn't know what it mean when I said I loved you. You know,
uh-huh.
people put me in mental institution or they did whatever when they found out that I was gay. You know,
right.
sent me to a physician that molested me sexually.
Uh-huh.
You know, all of these things like that. But it was couched in, well, we love you and we want you to have the best. Well, you know, love is positive behavior.
Yeah.
And that is definitely something when the planet understands in our relationship that we have with one another, whether that be the person at Walmart or our significant other,
uh-huh.
that we express love and receive love through positive behavior, our whole world is going to change.
Mm. So,
and that means that we lead with our heart. We don't wait for someone else to go first.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, Regina, before we go to break, can you share with our listeners what your website is and how they can connect with you?
Sure, absolutely. RomancingYourSoul.com.
I love that.
Romancing Your Soul.
Yes, that's fabulous. So when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show, more with Regina Cates.
Hey, do you like free stuff? The Dr. Pat Show has an amazing giveaway program doing weekly giveaways on Facebook and Twitter. Go to Facebook.com/The Dr. Pat Show and click the like button. Then go to Twitter.com/The Dr. Pat Show and click the follow button. Then you can play along and enter to win some amazing prizes. Again, that's Facebook.com/The Dr. Pat Show and Twitter.com/The Dr. Pat Show.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Time. Talk Radio.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. What does the word healing mean? Many think that healing merely means eliminating symptoms. However, based on my many years as a healer, I have a much broader perspective on the word. Healing can manifest in a variety of ways, including having physical problems resolved, becoming more emotionally centered, experiencing better relationships, gaining greater clarity, and feeling more spiritually connected. True healing always includes some level of transformation. Whatever form healing takes, there is one commonality, an improvement in quality of life. To me, the highest form of healing goes beyond aligning with wellness. It comes from recognizing our soul's voice and allowing it to speak through us. And in that sense, don't we all yearn to heal into our wholeness? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Tune in Thursdays at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern to Spirit Guidance Radio with Shannon Walbrand on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show with South Africa's top psychic will amaze and uplift you. Call in to receive detailed, specific answers that offer immediate solutions as Shannon interprets messages from your spirit guides. Whether it's love, business, or health, your spirit guides are ready to help. Visit ShannonWalbrand.com for more info. You are guided.
What's getting your attention as physical pain or illness? Have doctors been unable to help? Consider an intuitive healing session with Christy Borst. Amazing things happen every day, sometimes with jolting awareness, and sometimes with subtle shifts aided with Christy's divine healing gift. Release that which no longer serves you. For more information and to contact Christy, visit healingresonance.us. That's healingresonance.us.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today with Regina Cates. She is a transformational author, a self-proclaimed positivity junkie, and she guides people to become more empowered to lead with their heart. She's the author of Lead With Your Heart, Creating a Life of Love, Compassion, and Purpose that's being published on May 1st. Now, Regina, you know, earlier in the show, you mentioned the Maya Angelou quote, when you know better, you do better. What does it mean to know better?
Ooh, yeah, that's a big one. It's a very powerful aha that I had, Christine, and that is that when I know better means that I am emotionally connected to the outcome of my actions or my thoughts or my words. So that's what she means by when we know better, we do better, because we now think about how our actions are going to impact us,
mm-hmm.
how what we're going to say might impact someone else negatively. We take that heart-led responsibility to be in charge of our words, deeds, and actions.
And that responsibility is huge, but you know, if you have the awareness, then you have to accept the responsibility, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yes. And I believe that when I did not accept responsibility, it was because I was not putting myself in the position of someone else. How is what I'm going to do impact someone? That's the empathy that is so very necessary for us to move the planet into a different way, to lead with that aspect of love.
Mm-hmm. And yet I think that people have a hard time getting there sometimes because they don't feel that they receive the empathy that they need. So how do you, like, get yourself in a situation where, I mean, if you're living in a situation where you feel like you're not heard, seen, empathized with, how do you get yourself to that place of being able to empathize with others?
You have to empathize with yourself first, Christine. Ooh. That's why it was very important. That's why this whole book came about, because it is my journey of how I became my own best friend, my biggest supporter, and my greatest cheerleader, because I did not have that coming from outside me.
Right.
There's no way. I was not supported. I was not to be who I actually was. You know, I got food, water, and all of these other things
sure.
that are very necessary. And I have great parents, and I really love them. I was adopted, and I was adopted into a wonderful home. But as far as that emotional support to help form and heal little Regina, I had to learn how to do that for myself.
Right.
And by going on that journey that I document in the book, this is how we become intimate with ourselves. Then we can become intimate with other people. It has to be within us first.
So what are the signs when we're really not connected with self?
Blame. For me, it was blame, projection, not being able to be in an intimate relationship, because not necessarily the physical aspects of that, but the sharing of the heart, the honesty,
right.
the behaviors of love, where you take responsibility for your own actions. Those are some of the signs, you know, frustration,
mm-hmm.
anger. The negative aspects of relationship, that's going to give you a good idea that something's not going right. And we must stop projecting that onto the other person. It's not their fault. We
right.
have to look. I had to look at what the common denominator was in my sixth breakup. Christine, it was me.
Yeah. And you also talked about having gained weight and, you know,
oh, goodness,
shifted
yes.
a lifestyle and stuff. I think oftentimes it will get to be are not accepting the responsibility, not like loving ourselves enough, will show up in a variety of ways, including on the physical realm, whether it's the illness or the weight gain or the, you know, whatever it is where we're just not at home within our bodies.
Certainly. Absolutely. And what happens is one of the other things that I like to say, because it's very important, is we can't take the abuse that other people gave us out on ourselves anymore. We have to reach a point where we say, wait a second, you know, I know that this is what happened to me, but I have to stop behaving like I'm still believing I'm not worthy.
That's a really important one. That's really important.
It's huge, and that's why I give pointers in the book of these particular steps of how we do become worthy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not an easy journey. We have to commit to this particular thing. But what I really want to share this morning, and I guess the most important thing that I could share from my heart, is that we're worth it.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to create the best life possible when we do take responsibility for all of the stuff that happened to us, when we go through it, when we heal it. And when we use those experiences to better our lives and better the lives of other people, we're going to create magic with our life.
So, Regina, what kind of steps can a person take in order to begin to let go of the unworthiness and embrace the love within and that connection to being worthy?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's about self-reflection. It is for me, at least, Christine. We have to go in and we have to look at it and say, well, you know what? Let's be honest. This is how I was treated, but why am I still accepting that kind of behavior from people today? Mm-hmm. Why am I accepting that behavior from myself today? What is everything that's going right with me? Let's make a huge list. You know, we have this tendency to concentrate on the 500 things we think we need that are wrong with us.
Right.
I think we would do so much better if we concentrated on the wonderful things that we already have going for us.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, and then we can find the holes where we need to do work, and that's what I did. One day I just got so frustrated, I said, wait a second, you know, I can't be that bad. So let's look and find out. And by doing that, you know, the negative list could have made me very depressed, but instead it gave me encouragement and hope that I was going to be able to change those things that were not serving me, and those things, I mean behaviors and thoughts and the words that I use. I could change those. I have the power. See, that's one thing we need to understand, is that we're the ones with the power over ourselves.
You know, Regina, I think a lot of people don't really feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you get to a place of accepting, and at least having the awareness and then accepting your own power?
Mm-hmm. By understanding that you're worth it, and by doing little things that give you the idea that you really do have power over your life, making those decisions that turn out right, taking responsibility for those decisions that don't, and then working again to make the better decision next time. You know, Dr. X was a huge transformational moment in my life, because I realized in that moment everything culminated, Christine. I have full responsibility over my life to create it exactly the way that I want to.
Uh-huh.
It takes one experience of us stepping up, of us pushing ego aside, and then we become addicted in a very good way to being responsible for ourselves.
So it's almost like you try it out, and mm-hmm. it may require a lot of a lot of inner work, or a lot of like just sort of stuffing that ego to the side for a little while, and then sort of experimenting and seeing what happens.
Well, it's about loving our little ego. You know, in the book, I explain that ego is like our little wounded child. So it's like the little wounded Regina, uh-huh. the one that took all of this abuse. So I had to, as the adult Regina, heal my little wounded person. And I know people talk about this all the time.
Right.
And that's what this entire book is about, the steps that I take in order to heal that part of me so that I do become my own best friend.
Right.
You know, there is a process. There's a lot of different things that we can do so that we feel worthy, so that we feel good about ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's so important. Now, you know, one of the things you talk about in your book is the importance of forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to forgive?
For me, it means that I thought about this a long time, Christine. You know, these are one of those things that you ponder. What does it actually mean to forgive? And
sure.
I go into deep detail in the book about that, you know. But for me, I think the bottom line for forgiveness is to release the resentment that we hold that someone should have, would have, could have done it differently.
So
whatever that is.
So how do you get to that point, though? Because, you know, when somebody behaves very badly and it has a negative impact on, you know, a person. how do you ever say, okay, well, you know, it shouldn't have been any different, or you know, stepping away from that blame?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? It is important for those people, like the physician that molested me sexually. He knew exactly what he was doing, okay?
Right. Uh-huh.
And his arrogance was such that he was never going to get caught. Later, I come to find out that he did this to all of his patients. Absolutely, the man should have behaved differently. The babysitter should have behaved differently also.
Right.
However, they did not. So part of this forgiveness is accepting that it happened, accepting that we cannot go back and change it, accepting that if these people would have known better on an emotionally responsible level, then they would have done better. But most importantly for me, Christine, I believe forgiveness is about us cutting the energetic cord that the power these people still have over us. It is a conscious decision to let them go.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that oftentimes we get stuck in resisting what happened. Kind of like, you know, desperately wanting to rewrite our story. And you were making an important point about accepting what happened, because it happened. There's nothing we can do about that. Do you also think that some of these bad things that happen to us have happened to us for some greater purpose?
Well, I think what I think is, and I don't necessarily believe that what happened to me was something that was predestined that I needed to have it. I think what happened to me was an opportunity for me to rise above and learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, ma'am, I do believe that every challenge that we face in life is an opportunity to grow so that we blossom.
Right.
And so many of us, and me included for so long, did not look at that as opportunities to grow and change. It looked at, okay, I'm a victim. You know, we can choose to be a victim or the victor.
Uh-huh.
And that's a conscious choice that we have to make, to say, okay, this is what happened to me, and now it's my turn to go ahead and overcome this.
Right. And on that important note, we're going to head into break. But before we're going to break, I just want to mention again, your website is romancingyoursoul.com and your Facebook page is Romancing Your Soul. More
Perfect.
With Regina Cates when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
Are you feeling stuck? Do you want to be free from fears and doubts and finally feel good about yourself, but you just don't know how to get there? Dr. Schaub's Accelerated Breakthrough Program provides you with the tools and solutions to go beyond your limitations and achieve self-empowered confidence. Call for your free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. Visit CellularWisdom.com. That's CellularWisdom.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. For centuries, spiritual traditions have talked about how humans have an energy field, or aura, surrounding them. Although skeptical scientists refuted this for decades, science is now beginning to catch up with spirituality. Scientists can actually measure light emanating from living beings, so they can measure the human aura, which in scientific terms is known as the biofield. Many medical practitioners around the world use an instrument to evaluate a patient's biofield for the purpose of diagnosing illness. They understand that imbalanced or insufficient light in a person's energy field indicates a physical or emotional problem. The good news? There are ways to balance and increase your light, resulting in greater well-being. For more information, please check out StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Are you tired of being bloated and nauseous? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know eating unhealthy foods eventually leads to an unhealthy digestive system? Did you know eating the most healthy, nutritious food doesn't necessarily result in a healthy body? The stomach must be healthy in order to properly digest, metabolize, and utilize even the best of nutrition. Without proper digestion from the stomach through the intestinal tract, the nutritious value is not absorbed, and the improperly digested food can be more toxic to your body than helpful. You can be doing all the right things and getting all the wrong results. In fact, other organs may also be interfering with your stomach's ability to digest. Contact us today for your appointment at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. Or visit us at MaryJaneMack.com. And saying what is left unsaid, you will never be alone. Because I know where your heart is. And my heart knows where the home is. And I can feel the light that shines.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, Cable Radio Network, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm talking today with the author of Lead With Your Heart, Creating a Life of Love, Compassion, and Purpose. Her name is Regina Cates. And Regina, we've been having a wonderful conversation about what it means to lead from the heart and things, important things like forgiveness and taking responsibility for ourselves. So,
yes, ma'am.
So, you know, first of all, I have to tell our listeners something that's rather amusing. You shared with our listeners, and you've shared it, you know, in your book, how you were gay from the get-go, and you know, you eventually did come out of the closet about it. And now, right now, you're back in a closet. Can you explain to our listeners what's going on?
Yes, I can. It's very interesting. I'm in my closet where my clothes are because there's a construction site across the street, and today is the day that they decided to bring in a huge machine that is pumping concrete nonstop, and the noise is deafening. So I have returned to the closet today for the interview, and I'm very happy to be surrounded by all of my stuff.
So you're nice and cozy in there. I love that. You know, that's one of the wonderful things about live radio. You never exactly know what's going to happen, and that's one of the joys of it.
Well, I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable out. I'm comfortable in. It's fine.
Yeah. So, you know, you've learned a lot through your, you know, your difficulties and really trying to learn and then walk your talk about what it is to lead with your heart. Why did you actually take it to writing a book? Why did that feel important to you?
Because, Christine, I did not have a guidebook when I was growing up that would answer so many of the questions that I think that maybe a good mentor or a wonderful parent who's aligned and and awake and aware. So I sat down to write this so that if in any way anyone can avoid a problem that I have encountered or avoid a mistake that I have made to better their lives, then that would be a blessing to me.
Right.
So I share my story because we're all connected and we're all alike. This is what works for me, and I would love for it to help other people.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things I like about your book is that it's very accessible. You know, some of the books that are out there that talk about these sorts of things sort of have the prerequisite for the reader that they're really on their well on the way of, you know, that path to the heart. And, you know, this book is good for them as well. But this is also it's got certain foundations that will help those who are just starting to, you know, open up to this concept of maybe something should be different and be more connected to their heart, connected maybe spiritually.
Mm-hmm. And that was intentional. I did not write this book for the choir. In fact, it was motivated by me because I gave Eckhart Tolle's The Power of Now to my secretary when I was at Berry College and loved her to death, and she was great. But the next day she gave it back terrified because it was too much for her.
Right.
And I said at that moment, I would like to write something that is accessible, that makes you feel like you're part of it, rather than something, I don't know, I love his book, and I think it's great. I just have a different voice.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I think it's important for people to hear things with multiple voices, because there's going to be one voice that really resonates for a person, and as long as they get connected with the information and with that path, that impetus to become more connected to their heart, it doesn't matter, you know, who the voice is, but there needs to be a variety of voices out there.
Absolutely, yeah. So that was really the impetus behind making the book the way that it was. And then, by the way, it just flowed.
Yeah. Isn't that great? Isn't it fun to be in that flow?
Well, yeah, it is. You know, the 10-year flow can get sort of boring after a while, but...
The what? It's
the 10-year flow can get a little bit boring and monotonous after a while. It'll be about 10 years in this particular process when it's finally out into the world.
My goodness. That's a long gestation for a book.
Mm-hmm. But, well, it is. There were three books before. Uh-huh. You know, this is the first book that I've written. So there were three books before. You know, the first name I'll share with you is Being an Ass is a Choice, which I actually added a little more to that word, and I'm being nice right now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was the first one, and then I decided, maybe that's a little too blaming,
right.
So we need to move forward. And then we moved into Being a Superhero is a Choice, and finally we have Lead with Your Heart, which is a total owning of my journey.
Right. And what an important transformation that is, because that message is much more powerful that way.
That's what I found out. But it took a little while for me to understand that and to find out. You know, I think that's one of the reasons that I have a nice group of folks on Facebook. We're now over 232,000 people, and it's growing.
That's so fabulous. Good for you.
Well, it is. It makes me feel good because I know that what I am sharing is something that they can relate to.
Yes. Yes.
Safe space. It's really, really fun.
So on Facebook, your page is Romancing Your Soul. Is that right?
That's correct. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, your book isn't out until May. How can people get a hold of a copy of it?
Well, right now it's actually ready for pre-order. It's available on Amazon.com in Canada, in the United States, and in the United Kingdom. For pre-order, it's also available by going to the Romancing Your Soul main website. And it has a link to my publisher who is selling autographed copies at this particular point.
Yes.
Those will be mailed the first part of April. So people that reserve an autographed copy will get it before the general public.
And, you know, I was fortunate enough to get an advanced copy of the book so I could read it for the show. But I am already in line to get one of those signed copies, I have to tell you. Once I heard you speak, Dana, Be the Change, I knew I had to get a copy of your book.
Oh, you signed up that day. Great.
I did. I did, yes.
Well, it's enjoying some success even before it's published, and I'm very pleased that the message is resonating with folks.
Yeah, it is a fabulous message, too. So, Regina, do you feel like our world is changing at this point?
Absolutely for the better, Christine. Absolutely, yes. You know, I even have a chapter in the book about Be the Solution, and it's about looking around to see all of the things that we have an opportunity to address. So everything that we see out there that we could consider negative, I view from the standpoint of, wow, this is a wake-up call. Let's get together. And that's what I mean by leading with our heart to be the change. We have to take responsibility for this because the light is getting stronger. Yes, ma'am. The world is changing for the better. Let's be on board.
Instead of pushing something away, you're saying use it as an opportunity to transform it.
Absolutely. Sure. You know, we have... a lot of challenges, from political corruption to poverty to a whole lot of things.
Right.
And this is an opportunity. Each one of these, you know, we can look at the world as saying, well, it's going to hell in a handbasket.
Sure.
Or, as a positivity junkie, I am going to say, hey, let's look for the good in this.
Right.
And what can we do in order to bring a higher level of awareness to this and change this?
And, you know, there's so much of the so-called negative that's getting illuminated right now. I find that to be... rather interesting, and I think it's no coincidence, because when something is illuminated for us to become aware of, to see, then we have an opportunity to step away from it, change it, you know, to somehow transmute that energy.
Mm-hmm. We do. And the one thing that we have to remember, and I believe that this is, I can say this universally, is that we need to stop blaming.
Mm.
We need to look at, you know, this man, Mr. Gates, just wrote this book about what everything that he has discovered in his time as the Secretary of Defense.
Uh-huh.
And everyone out there is now blaming. You know, it's like, oh, you shouldn't have done this, yada, yada. I'm like, thank you, because now we get to see what is really operating out there.
Uh-huh.
If we stop the blame, if we stop, pointing fingers at other people, and we actually say, how can we use this to better what we really want to better in the first place, or what we say we do?
Right.
And this is just one tiny example, Christine. You know, we're given these opportunities every single day in our personal life and in our collective life.
Mm-hmm.
Step one, stop blaming.
Yeah. So when
Step two, stop trying to find a scapegoat. You know?
And the things, and the moments at which we feel pretty uncomfortable within ourselves are probably the perfect moments to consider changing ourselves and connecting more with our heart.
So, those are the moments of Dr. X transformation. When we grab those, then all of a sudden we get it. We say, aha, so I can only be in charge of me, so I want to be the best me that I can possibly be, so I can create the best life. And all of a sudden, then we change other people just through our example.
Yeah. And on that beautiful note, we're going to have to say goodbye to you because the show has just flown by, Regina. Thanks so much for joining me here today and having a conversation.
Christine, it was an honor. Thank you.
And again, it's a wonderful book and a wonderful message. Lead with Your Heart by Regina Cates. You don't want to miss it. And I thank you for joining us here today. It's always a pleasure to connect with you, the invisible listener. I know some of you actually, you know, will say hello on Facebook. You can find the Christine Epchurch Show page on Facebook. Stellar Reflections is my center Facebook page as well. And StellarReflections.com if you want to connect with me. Thanks so much, and I hope you'll join me here again next week.
You've been listening to the Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com. On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Join us February 14th through the 17th for the 22nd Annual Women of Wisdom Conference in Seattle. Come explore the new paradigm, riding the wave of the heart. Inspirational speakers, experiential workshops will change your life for good. Join Donna Eden, Esther Nicholson's, Jalaja Bonheim, Julie McIntyre, and S.J. Tucker. Everything is individually priced, and evening events are open to men. Reduced prices for teens, students, and seniors. Looking for community? Join us this February. Visit womenofwisdom.org. That's womenofwisdom.org. Oh, and you'll want to attend the CD music release concert that S.J. Tucker is giving Saturday, February 15th. That's womenofwisdom.org, 206-782-3363. That's 206-782-3363.
The Tick-Borne Disease Alliance, TBDA, has just launched Bite Back for a Cure, a new national grassroots campaign to build support for the fight against tick-borne diseases. This fall, 24-year-old John Donnelly is biking across America to meet others affected by tick-borne diseases and raise awareness about the national tick-borne disease epidemic. TBDA wants you to get involved in the campaign and follow John's journey. To learn more, visit bitebackforacure.org.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Join the Pacific Northwest's EFT Tappers at the 4th Annual Tappers Gathering this March 1st at Bastyr University. Tapping enthusiasts from across the region will be sharing healing stories, learning different EFT applications, and forging a strong community. This event raises money and awareness for continuing EFT tapping scientific research. All net proceeds go to our 501c3 nonprofit conducting a study showing how EFT can alter gene expression. Bring your cards and information for a fulfilled day of networking and inspiring one another. Visit www.nwtappersgathering.com or call 360-661-6877. www.nwtappersgathering.com or call 360-661-6877.